So this is the Pulse Dynasty episode of the podcast. How did you like Dynasty?
It was okay. It wasn't a bad pay-per-view to me.
So you're not going to say it's
If
like
I had to rate it,
the
probably like a no, greatest, no. If I had to rate it, probably like six or seven.
Okay. Because it's the greatest pay-per-view that AEW has done so far, which was greater than the last pay-per-view that they did, which was greater than the one before that, and also greater than that one. So yeah,
I'm just
this
about to
is
ask you that. Like, don't they say that about all their pay-per-views?
yeah, like every pay-per-view is the greatest pay-per-view. And this is not hating on AEW, because I know someone's gonna be like, oh, they're hating on AEW. No. It's just every pay-per-view can't be great. Some pay-per-views are bad, even though we've called out the bad ones when they're bad, and people still like, no, it's one of the greatest pay-per-views I've ever seen. And it's like, no, that wasn't. This one,
I literally just said six or seven.
this one has the potential, because like there was like at least three good matches that I was like, oh man, like these are great matches. But like everything else like makes it go to like, I give it an eight. Like I give it an eight, like not a pure 10, but like there's some matches that were like straight up 10s, and like they carried, like they hard carried the whole show. So yeah, that was a thing. So before we get into that, I did not go over this because I was trying to make sure that I covered all the bases in the last podcast, but there were some releases in WWE. And it was Jinder Mahal, Veer and Sangha, Zion Quinn, and Xia Li. Now,
Yeah, found out about Sangha and Veer later on that day. I did.
yeah, so what do you think about the people that got released? Do you think they're gonna move on to somewhere else, or like what's up? What do you think?
All of them, actually. I was going to say maybe some of them, but all of them are going to move on to like other things. I don't know about Veer and Sangha and the tag team, but they have potential. Gender, of course. I see him more like in TNA. Same with Xia Li, because they have a great women division over there for Xia, so I want to see her over there.
So I want Jinder to go to AEW just for the fucking meme. Because the whole thing where Tony Khan was like, yeah, he doesn't like Hook is better. It was like, no. I want to see it for the meme. I want to see him versus Hook.
Yeah, that would be funny. Zion
So
Quinn, I don't know. You tell me.
I see him going to AEW too, because his girlfriend's over at AEW. So like I see that's the only reason he'll go over there. Yeah, and so apparently, like, even though like it sucks to get fired, yes, it does. Apparently, WWE has done a new strategy where they call and peacefully talk it out and say, "Hey, this is the reason why." Like, I mean, no hard feelings. Like, other than just a cold, you're fired call from the old way. They say their releases are a lot better and more personable. Like, they actually talk to somebody and give them like a whole rundown of what happened, and like there's no hard feelings, blah blah blah. And it's like, oh well, I mean, like getting fired, just like somebody just telling you you're fired and just no explanation and no like sit down or anything. It makes the firing harder. But like actually someone talking to you and being like, yo, this is the reason why. I listen, no hard feelings, like blah blah blah, and just like soften the blow, and just like that does make it feel like not as bad. So
You
I'm
feel
glad.
more as a person.
I'm glad that they started doing that and not just going, no, fuck you, you're fired. I mean, it's like it sucks to get fired, but at least they're like, well, here's the reasons why, blah blah blah, and it's like, oh yeah, man, yeah, I got it. I just it's good. Yeah. Okay. So, also, I covered on the last podcast, I covered the Rebellion pay-per-view, and apparently Matt Hardy is not signed to TNA. Apparently, he's just a free agent. So, that's weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's really fucking weird, because it's like you're about to challenge Moose for the championship. You're like, I want the championship, but you're not signed. So that's kind of weird.
Kind of obvious the way that's going to go, right?
Yeah, he's going to wind up in AEW. I mean, not AEW. He's going to wind up in TNA. And apparently, I also read that Jeff Hardy's contract is up. Like, they're not tacking on any injury time or, like, whatever time. So his contract is up very soon. So we could be looking at a Hardy Boys run in WWE, which I don't want. I mean, a TNA Hardy Boys run, I'm cool with. But, like, a WWE TNA, like, Hardy Boys run, I don't want that at all. Like, no Hardy Boys in WWE for me. I'm cool.
Especially the broken Hardy Boys. I would love that in TNA. They handled it the broken gimmick, they handled it best in TNA.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The person who handled the gimmick is not in TNA anymore. Like, Jeremy Borash is in WWE. So they're just working off. They're just going to be doing whatever the fuck they feel like and saying, hey, this is how we feel for this. And it's like, well, you don't have somebody there to give you the constructive criticism and go, hey, this is what you should do. This is how you should move. Like, this is just going to be whatever this is just straight up Matt Hardy's vision. Like, with no filter. So whatever you're going to get is that version of the Broken Hardys. Because Borash is out. Like, he's the one who, like, directed everything. So this one is, like, all Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. So it is what it is. So AEW had Dynasty, and it was a pay-per-view. I gave it an 8. Renegade gave it a 7. So it starts off with Trent Barretta versus Matt Sydal. And I lied to you not, I have no fucking clue why this match was going down. And then everybody was like, hey, no. It's because they had that match the other day. And it's like, Trent wasn't in that match. Like, this had nothing to do with nothing. Like, oh, it's because he attacked him. That still has nothing to do with nothing. He's beefing with fucking Orange Cassidy. This has nothing to do with him. He attacked Matt Sydal. This seemed like this should have been on a fucking Dynamite. This didn't make no fucking sense to be on a pre-show. Like, what the fuck?
Even a fucking Rampage.
Yeah, it was like, this didn't have to be there. So,
Trent. There's a throwaway. Matt, fucking Matt's brother was even there. Like, we haven't seen him in ages, so that shows you how important, quote-unquote, this match was.
But here's the thing. Matt Sydal is from St. Louis. So it was like, it's his hometown. He's a hometown boy. But they did a WWE, and he lost. He lost to Trent Barretta. So I was like, that didn't make any sense. Like, you could have had him against anybody and got the win. But it was like, this didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So after Trent won, like, he was beating the shit out of Matt, and then all of a sudden, here comes Chuck Taylor, and Chuck's like, yo. Like, he jumped in the ring, Trent ran off, and Trent's like, yo. He's like, on Wednesday, you better make your choice. And Chuck's like, dude, I don't want to fucking make a choice. I don't give a shit. And then, as he's saying that, Orange Cassidy comes out, and Trent's trying to figure out which way to fucking go, which way do I go? And then he just, like, Orange Cassidy just stands there, and he just walks by him, and, like, there was no interaction. It's like, okay, that was weird. Like, that was weird.
I don't care how chill I am.
Yeah, like, that's what I thought. I was like, he's going to swing on him, right? He's going to swing on him. And he's like, nah, he's just left. Like, fuck it. We just leave. I'm like, okay. So then we had Shibata and Orange Cassidy versus Shane Taylor Promotions. And this was, like, I'm not going to lie, this was two storylines weaved into, like, one. Because the Shibata thing, Shibata got choked out by, well, not choked out, but he got beat by Lee Moriarty in that hook match. Like, that was 2 weeks ago. Then we have Shane Taylor wrestling Orange Cassidy and then jumping him after the match, which Shibata didn't come out at all. So you just weave two storylines with, like, all right, you guys are going to beat Shane Taylor Promotions. It was like, that was kind of weird because, like, they don't really intersect. Like, the Shibata and Orange Cassidy, like, they teamed up before, but, like, they don't really intersect in this storyline with Shane Taylor Promotions. So it's like, all right, we're just going to throw this together, and here's a tag match. Ha! Like, okay. And that was weird.
Should have been two one-on-one matches, not on the pay-per-view. One could have been in the pay-per-view, but the other one could have been left off.
Yeah, it was like, this was just very random. It was like, they just wanted to throw some stuff together. It's like, you could have threw better stuff together, but I guess this is what they decided. Because this whole, like, this whole pre-show was just like, it was just gobbledygook. It wasn't nothing good. It was like, oh, what the fuck is this?
It was sloppy. I agree.
Yeah. Then we had Bullet Club Gold take on the Acclaimed. And Max Caster came out, and Max Caster did a rap. And immediately Max Caster showed exactly why the fuck Max Caster is Max Caster, because he said some shit that he shouldn't have said, and immediately everybody was like, yeah, like, we need you to just separate from Bowens because you're bringing Bowens down. Because he literally just, like, he just started rapping, and it was like, the first part was like, all right, cool, chill. And then he was like, no, I'm going to do it a cappella. And was like, okay, maybe he's going to say some. And then he just, like, went to, like, I'm going to rape Jay White. And it's like, dude, what the fuck? Like, why? And it's like, you didn't have to say that. And he's like, no. And you can see Bowens just go, he just gives him this look like, all right, whatever. And he just, like, waves it off. And it's like, dude, you didn't have to say that. Like, there was no reason to say that.
But, you know that he was in panic mode the way he grabbed the fucking like mic from him. It wasn't normal the way he grabbed the mic.
No, because like, he was about to say dick. He was about to say dick live. Yeah. So he's like, that's why he grabbed it. But he had already said the rape line. And he was just like, and then when he was about to say dick, he was like, I don't even know why he stopped him, because they're on pay-per-view. He could have said dick. But like, the damage was already done. He said the rape line. It was like,
Yeah.
Okay.
Had even to stop him somewhere.
Yeah. Even Jay White was like, that was a little too far, but all right, whatever. But the Bullet Club Gold won, and now they're the Ring of Honor tag, six man tag, and the regular six man tag champions.
Yep.
Do you foresee
this making a new title, like one sole title for both things, like a unified thing, or they're just gonna be both champions?
I wish that they would do that. I don't know, because like, there's no, hey, we're making this one title. They said that they're both champions. They didn't say anything about them being they said they're unifying the championships, but they didn't say anything about a belt. They didn't say anything else, but hey, this happens. And it's like, all right, because we know how AEW is. Like, they'll unify something and then just strip it apart. Like, i.e. yeah, what the next match is. It's like, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, I'm happy Jay White won, but at the same time, it's just like, it could have been so much more, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, then we had Okada versus Pac. And this match was really good. This match was really good. Because we had regular Okada, not every week showing up on TV Okada. This was Okada Okada. He was wrestling Pac. And this was a really good match. And he hit the Rainmaker, ended Pac. That was it. And I don't know why, but it was really fucking weird that after the match, they gave a standing fucking ovation for Pac. They gave a standing ovation for him, cheered the shit out of him. And, like, they act like he was leaving.
Yeah. Like, I text you, I'm like, is he leaving? Because, like, they focused on that for a minute.
Yeah, and it seemed like, and then, like, they were like, they're giving the adulation to Pac because he did such a great match. And I'm like, yeah, he did, but, like, it wasn't warranted a fucking standing ovation and shit. I mean, like I said, the match was really good, but it wasn't, like, warranted a fucking standing ovation, like, yay, Pac is the greatest. And it's like, and then he like had the look on his face like, damn, I'm fucking sad. It's like, this feels like you're leaving, yeah, but I don't think you're leaving. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's leaving.
I don't either, but it's something to that.
Yeah. So then we had the House of Black versus Edge, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe. This match was just a match, and like, this match literally had the fucking same ending that I would have booked if they had this match on a fucking Dynamite or a Rampage or a Collision. It's the same engine that I would have booked because it got to the next match, which we could have already did. But there was, the match ended when Malakai Black missed it Edge and hit him with the blackout. 1, 2, 3. He gets the pin. And I'm like, that makes sense. They should have went to the TNT title with Malakai from the beginning. That's what should have happened. I even said it in our predictions. I think that they're going to win because they're going for this, but this should have happened on like Collision or something. We had this match on the pay-per-view. But now we're just going to get this match on wherever the fuck they want to put it at.
Whatever the next pay-per-view is, I guess.
I don't even think they're going to put it on the next pay-per-view. I think it's going to be on a random Collision or a Dynamite. That's exactly what I think is going to happen. It's going to be on a random Collision or Dynamite, nothing other than that. It's like, all right.
That's weird.
Yeah. So then we had Willow versus Julia Hart. And apparently Julia Hart is actually injured. And the stipulation was that Sky Blue and Chris Statlander stay in the back. And Willow and Julia wrestled for a minute, and you could tell something was off with Julia. And then she just like hit her with the Dr. Bomb, 1, 2, 3. Willow gets the win. And Willow's a champion, and I'm glad that she's a champion. She deserves it. I mean, Willow definitely deserves it.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you sure about that? Because you didn't sound like you were sure about
that. Yeah, I have a cough. I'm sorry. That didn't sound right. But yeah, like, she does deserve it.
Okay.
So, yeah, and like, she'll make a great champion. I'm kind of disappointed that Julia lost it. I ain't going to lie. But, you know, Willow does deserve it. She'll make a great champion.
Okay. Are you disappointed because you like her gimmick, or are you disappointed because she was a great champion?
Both.
To me,
I feel like it should have been a little longer, but you know, it is what it is. She's injured, like you said, so like, you know, they had to take the title off of her anyway, so
like, with no disrespect, listen, no disrespect to her, like Julia Hart had the championship for like about 3 or 4 months. Like, there's no disrespect to her, like she was an all right champion, but like, It's okay to move on. She can get the title eventually. Yeah. I just was kind of just like over her being champion, and not like in a bad way. It's like, all right, we put the title on somebody else, give them a run. Julia Hart can like do spooky stuff and then come back and get back in it. It's like, to me, it was like perfectly fine. Yeah. I was like, yeah, she, like, it was her time to lose. And also, Willow's never had a title in this company. Like, she had the title in New Japan. But in this company, she's never had a title. So, and I know people are like, well, everybody can't get a turn. I mean, you can if you have good stories to go with it, because now Willow winning the championship, because after that, Mercedes came out and said that she's facing her in Double or Nothing. And it's like, okay, you have a story because of the broken leg. She injured her. It's been a whole year. You won't get that to Double or Nothing. Okay, that's a story. Even though I already know Willow's going to lose in her first defense against Mercedes, hopefully she defends it other places, but she's definitely losing to Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, from here to then, she'll have like a couple defenses, so she should be fine.
Yeah. Hopefully, like, they're good defenses and people can see how good she is and be like, oh my God, Willow's awesome. And then when she loses it to Mercedes, like, if they do it right, you can have it. Mercedes have this long run, and then Willow be the one to take her out and get the title again. Like, you can do a lot of things. It's like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's perfectly fine. So then we had Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. And this was another fucking good match to carry. And Roderick Strong beat Kyle O'Reilly with the distraction of Wardlow, who, thank God that Wardlow's okay, because he got in a car crash earlier in the day. So Wardlow made it to the building. It is okay. Like, holy shit. Like, I'm glad that he's okay. Because, like, you see the car, and oh, like, it's fucked up. And you're like, okay, I'm glad you made it. And he's here. And then after the match, Adam Cole shows up, and Adam Cole gets out of the wheelchair and walks down to the ring, gets in the ring, and they're celebrating, and Wardlow's there, and he's just got this face like, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to fuck you up. And then he just walks past Wardlow and goes celebrate with Roddy. So it's coming. The breakup is coming. And finally, Wardlow will be by himself for 2 weeks, and then they find him somebody to hang out with, and that's his new buddy, and that's how Wardlow's going to be. I lied to you not. Wardlow, he just needs to be by himself. If he doesn't get a singles run of, like, no faction, no manager, no nothing, if he don't get that, and, like, after they break him up, Wardlow needs to leave AEW. Seriously. He needs to leave, because Wardlow just needs to be by his fucking self.
1,000%. Like, when he had his run as TNT champion, or, like, feuding with Hobbs, he was by himself, and to me, he did good work.
No, he wasn't.
Hmm?
No, he wasn't.
No?
He was with Arn Anderson.
Okay, like... Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking he had a group, but yeah, Arn Anderson counts. That's a good point. Shit.
Yeah, like, he just needs to be...
He never went by himself then. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that's the problem. And it's like, I want to see what he can do, but it's like, he can't figure it out because he's always with somebody. But I'm really hoping that they give him just a singles run. No manager, no nothing. Just singles Wardlow. I want to see what happens.
Well, get ready for disappointment, because after, like, the shit hits the fan and he's out of this shit, the new member of the Don Callis family, Wardlow, I see it.
Dude, if he's a new member of the Don Callis family, I'm going to be so pissed. It's just like, you can't let this guy... Like, I would, like, as soon as they do that, if I was Wardlow, I'd walk right back in there and be like, yo, can I have my release, dog? I can't do this. I can't keep being in people's families. I can't do this.
Yeah, same with Hobbs. Hobbs should be by himself, too.
Yep. So, then we had Chris Jericho versus Hook. This match was such a fucking mess. They started chanting, please retire, fuck you, Jericho. They chanted all of this shit just like bashing Jericho. You know when the fucking pop came? Because, like, it was two times, like, when Hook was about to win and, like, everybody was cheering. And then Jericho just, like, got on this mad comeback. The one time that they fucking popped the hardest was when Jericho fucked up Hook and Taz stood up. Taz stood up and everybody cheered because they thought Taz was going to fuck up Jericho. But Jericho pinned Hook. Everybody booed. And then he was standing over Hook telling him, he's like, see, you didn't do this. And Taz was like, dude, just leave him the fuck alone. He's like, just leave him the fuck alone and get out of here. But yeah, he's got to go. Like, disappear for a while or something. Like, Jericho's not... He's not good.
You're the TW champion now, so
that title barely gets defended. That title barely gets defended. Fuck that, man. Like, fuck it.
I know. Like, he should leave, but it is what it is.
Yeah, like Jericho just gotta go. So then we had Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. And this was probably one of the best matches for both of them.
Yes.
Like, this match was really good. Like, this match was really fucking good. They were going at it. They were, like, I thought Thunder Rosa was going to win. Like, I was like, oh, she's about to win. And then Tony kicked out. I was like, oh, shit. Like, they're still going. And the match ended after Mariah May tried to get in, and then Deonna Purrazzo grabbed her off the thing, and they start fighting to the back, which distracted the ref, and Toni Storm hit a low blow on Thunder Rosa, and then hit her with the pile driver.
That shit was crazy. Fucking, what's his face? Luffer got fucked up in this shit, too.
Oh, yeah, he definitely got fucked up. And this is so funny because, like, they just did a women's low blow, and fucking WWE. Like, that was random as shit, and that happened. And now it happens here. So like now officially, like women's low blows are a thing now. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Like I'm all for it. Not a bad way, but like I'm all for it because it's fun.
Next match before we get in trouble.
So we had one of the best matches of the year, Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson. What is your opinion before I go into this?
Oh no, like I love this match. Like I say, like match of the night. For real, for real.
Yeah, it was match of the night. And I don't know, like, I swear, like, I've been watching Will since he was wrestling in the gyms against Zack Sabre, and I've been watching Brian since, like, back in the day. It's like, I lied to you not, it was times in this match where I literally was predicting what they were going to do, even though it was, like, completely batshit crazy, because it was just like, oh, they're going to hit this move. I was like, oh, he's going to hit the Psycho Knee. And he hits the Psycho Knee, like cattle mutilation. He hits cattle mutilation. He's going to turn that into a Styles Clash. Turn that right into a Styles Clash. I was literally predicting, and it's not even a bad thing where I was predicting it. It was like they had so many different matches with so many random different people that you can like just start visualizing what was about to come. Because if you watch them like intently, you're like, oh, I can visualize what's about to come. And it wasn't in a bad way where it was like, oh my God, like I know what's gonna happen. It's paint by numbers bullshit. It was sporadic, crazy counters that you like, if you just like watch them enough, you know what it is. You just had to see it coming. And it was just like, it was glorious. Like it was so fucking glorious. Like everything about this was like perfect. Like everything was perfect. The only thing that I didn't like was the end. Everything else about this was perfect. Because the end was just like a little wonky to me. I didn't like it. I'll still give it a fucking 5 out of 5. It was great. It's just the ending just was like, well, you guys didn't have to do that ending. I mean, it makes sense, but you didn't have to do it. Because like the ending does tie into something, but it just ties into something if you were paying attention to everything else. If you paid attention to everything else, it tied into that. But it like it doesn't really, like especially if you're just like a regular fan, because Will hits the Tiger Driver 93, and he drops Brian on his head, and Brian starts holding his shoulder and doing a convulsion thing. And the ref is trying to stop it, and Will takes off his pad and hits the Hidden Blade. When Brian gets up a little bit, hits the Hidden Blade, 1, 2, 3, Will wins. And the ref's like, dude, like we're trying to get him out the ring. Like, what the fuck? Why did you do that? And then Will was like, oh, shit, like, I didn't know. And Will felt bad about it, like, quote, unquote, because I think this is all story. But the thing is, with the Tiger Driver spot, it plays into the Kenny Omega thing when he dropped Kenny Omega on his neck and everybody was complaining about it. But Brian in the press conference that night said, I asked Will about that spot. And he said, even though it was dangerous, did it get people talking? And it's like Brian brought that up in that random ass backstage thing. And this was way long time ago. So when this happened, I was like, oh, This is definitely not. Yeah, I was like, this is definitely tied into that because he said it, and then he was like, oh, I did it to you, so now it's a thing. Even though Will, like, after this was acting like he was really upset about it, and it's like, yeah, no, it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. Because, like, then AEW even released the footage on their fucking Twitter page of Will helping Brian to the back and getting him to the trainer's room, and it's like, well, if he's injured, like, why would you post that? Like, yeah, it's like the little things. Like, you wouldn't post that if it was, like, if this wasn't fake. So, I mean, yes, it is what it is.
It has to be a work, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely work. But, like I said, it ties into everything. So, it's like, yeah, like, this makes sense. Like, it fucking makes sense. And I'm, like, I like it. And I'll just take off a half a point for it because it's like, you could have just did a straight ending, but like, since this ties into Brian saying that, I mean, you know what, fuck it. I'll just give it a whole 5. Fuck it.
Yeah. So, no, it was a masterpiece other than the ending, in my opinion.
Yes. So then we get to the tag team ladder match. I don't even know why the fuck this followed that great match. It followed one of the greatest matches you've ever seen. Hey, we're going to throw the Young Bucks in the ladder match. And it's like, yeah, I don't really care about this. Like, and it's no disrespect to my favorite tag team, FTR, but it's the Young Bucks. It's the Young Bucks. They just went out there and they just tried to kill each other and throw each other through ladders, do flips, and like do pile drivers. And it's like, the whole time I'm just like sitting there going, we all know how this ends. Like, can we just get to the ending and just move on? Because like, and then exactly as we said, it was going to be Jack Perry. He did a run in. He pushed over the ladder and bam. Like, oh, Dax fell. The Young Bucks went up and grabbed the belts. Oh, my God, who is that? It's Jack Perry. Oh, cry me a river. Oh, yada, yada, yada. We all know where
the funny part, when you predicted it, you actually said Dax, and it happened directly to Dax. So, yeah.
It was straight up how I called it. And it was like...
You said earlier, the line, paint by numbers? This was exactly paint by numbers. Like,
yeah.
Too fucking predictable.
Exactly. And that's why, like, I didn't like it. And, like, now I guess it's going to tell a story with the Young Bucks because this is their fourth time wrestling FTR. They need one more time and the series is over. Because right now it's even. I mean, if you're doing, like, the best out of five, then, yeah, that makes sense. But I really think that they should try it and do it and do the fifth match. I'd like, if FTR wins, I mean, it is what it is, but I think you should really just do this last match. And then, like, we never have to wrestle. They never have to wrestle ever again as a tag team. Never. Those two tag teams never touch again. Never again.
Who's the best out of five and FTR get the hell out of there?
Yeah, or the Young Bucks get out of there. Like, yeah, like somebody gets the fuck out of there because, like, they just need to get the fuck out of there. Like, that's it. So then we go on to the world title, which is the main event, the show closer. And Swerve comes out, and Swerve has on Killmonger gear, and he kneels down with this, like, Killmonger-esque stuff playing, and they put a robe on him. And the robe is from Jimmy Rave. Jimmy Rave was in the embassy with Nana, and Jimmy Rave passed away, and this was Jimmy Rave's robe that they put on Swerve. And that was really nice. That was really nice. Like, that made me happy. Swerve Gang came down to the ring. He took off the mask. The fans was totally behind him. And then Joe came down. And him and Joe went at it. And it was one time he hits the Swerve Stomp. He hits the Swerve Stomp on Joe. He's like, bam, he hits the Swerve Stomp on Joe. And you're like, okay, it's over. And Joe kicked out. And at that point, I was kind of questioning, like, just a little bit. I was like, okay, are they not going to pull the trigger on him? And then Nana, he distracted the referee by accident, and Joe hit Swerve with the belt, and then he choked him out. And, like, the funny part was, like, at the exact moment he starts choking him, Nana just, like, moves out the way, and the ref turns around, and I'm like, okay, dude, like, Nana definitely is turning on. He's definitely turning on Swerve. Swerve got some ropes. Yeah, like, it was so obvious. It's like, oh, he's definitely going to turn. Like, Swerve's not leaving with the title. And then Swerve fucked up Joe. He hits the Swerve Stomp again in 1, 2, 3. Like, I'm not even lying. When he hit the Swerve Stomp the second time, I did not think that this was the pin. I was like, oh, he's going to get out. He's going to hit him with something else, and that's how he's going to win.
Nana might probably get in the ring, stop the fall or something.
Yeah. I was like, it's not that easy. It's not going to be that easy. And then it was like 1, 2, 3, Swerve wins. I'm like, oh, shit, Swerve won. Like, right there. That I didn't see that coming, but Swerve won. So, yeah.
Same.
So, now Swerve is the new world champion. So, thoughts on Swerve being a new world champion?
It's cool. I mean, hopefully, like, he'll make a good champion. Like,
so,
I don't know. It's new territory for him, so I can't really, like, judge too much. Like, I had more to say about Willow because she's won the New Japan Championship before. You know, the New Japan Strong one. So, her having gold is nothing new.
But, okay, so...
Swerve having major gold? Major gold? You know, I mean, I don't count the MLW World Championship, okay. But having major gold, that's new to me.
Yeah, because, like, he's been world champion in MLW, CZW. He's been defied.
Oh, I didn't know about CZW.
Yeah, he's been, like, world champion other places. And it's like, this is the major title in a major company, and he's got this, and he's the guy. And so, to me, I'm just, like, trying to figure out who he's going to face between now and August. Because, like, I don't care what anybody is saying, like any bullshit that anybody's saying. August is his indie. That's the last day he's going to have that title in All Out or All In, whatever the fuck. I think it's All In. Yeah. In All In, that's the last day he's going to have that title because that's when he's facing Will Ospreay for the world title. He's definitely losing. There's no way in hell he's keeping that damn title. Like, until then, like, I don't know who the fuck he's going to face because he's going to face somebody at Double or Nothing. He's going to face somebody at Forbidden Door. He's going to face somebody at whatever the pay-per-view is going to be in July. And then he's losing it to fucking Will Ospreay. Like, he's going to have a nice little run. And then, like, they're going to put the title on Ospreay, and then there it goes. That's it.
Probably have Hangman in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to probably be Hangman, the heel version of Hangman. Yeah. I really want him to wrestle Adam Cole, but I don't see a place for him wrestling Adam Cole. Because, like, I think he's going to face Hangman at Double or Nothing. Hangman's going to try to take the title. And then at Forbidden Door, he's going to fight somebody from New Japan who they haven't stolen yet. And then... Then at whatever the July pay-per-view is, or is there a July pay-per-view? I don't know. I don't think it is. I think it may or may not be a July pay-per-view. But at the July pay-per-view, he can face whoever the hell that is. And then in August, he's definitely losing it to Will Ospreay. So that's a thing.
Thinking of Will Ospreay versus Adam Cole. Because I think Adam needs, like, he's walking, but I think he still needs time to heal. I think.
Yeah. So, like, by November, to me, by November, I see Cole getting back in the ring. Like, by November.
Okay.
Like, November at the latest. But I do see him getting back in the ring and facing whoever the world champion is, which is probably not going to be Swerve. Because, like, by the time I think he's healed up, it'll be August and Will be the champion, so he'll be facing Will. It's like, okay, that's cool.
Will they kick out Wardlow before then?
Dude, they better fucking kick out. They better kick out Wardlow to, like, fucking Monday. They better kick him out. Not even Monday. I meant to say Wednesday. They need to kick him out by Wednesday. Like, just get him the fuck out of there and let him be on his own. Like, there's no reason for him.
Because I don't see him being able to wrestle yet. But I can't see him do a beatdown. They could beat him down on Wednesday. For sure. Mm-hmm. You're right.
But, like, holy shit. Like Wardle just got to be by herself, dude. Because this is... it ain't working, man. It ain't working. Like, every time he's with somebody, he's with this person, It's like, just let him be. And we would all be happy. Because, like, we haven't seen this. We haven't seen what Wardle can do alone. We haven't seen this.
You know, like, you're not the only one who thinks that, because, like, I look at the internet, and, like, a lot of people have that same sentiment. Like, Wardlow doesn't fit in this crew.
Not at all. Like,
yeah.
I wish that they would have, like, beat Kyle O'Reilly just like normal, and Kyle would have been like, you know what, I'm with the crew, and Kyle would have took out Wardlow, and they would have just been a crew together, and it'd be like, okay, cool, we're fine. Like, this crew makes sense. It looks perfect. Like, they're all friends. They're happy to be there. Wardlow is just there because somebody was like, yo, okay, we just need a big dude in a crew. All right, let's throw Wardlow in. And it's like, you didn't need that, because, like, Undisputed Era didn't have that. And speaking of Undisputed Era, like, they showed Shawn Michaels' office in this random, like, I think it's like called Next or something. That's what the show is, where they're trying to recruit a brand new person and turn them into a WWE superstar. But in that video, they show Shawn Michaels' office. And Shawn Michaels' office is in there, and it's just a picture on the wall of the Undisputed Era. Shawn Michaels in the Undisputed Era. And it's like, they've been gone for years. They've been gone, and it's like, Shawn's like, no, I love these kids. These are my kids. And it's like, that's sweet.
And like, they took over NXT when they were there.
Yeah, and they didn't have no big, strong, beefy dude. It just was them. It was just Kyle, Adam, Roddy, and fucking Bobby. They were all there, and they just beat the shit. They beat the shit out of everybody. They had every fucking title at one point. And then when they all start falling apart and like people start getting injured, they still had world titles. Like,
yes.
It was so crazy. And oh my God, when they said this, I felt so bad, because they said it's been 8 years since Kyle O'Reilly wrestled for a world title. And I'm like, holy shit, he's been out of fucking NXT for 8 years? Holy fucking shit. Like, and I like, and part That's of me was crazy. But the funny part was like, part of me was like, oh, maybe they're not counting NXT. Maybe they're counting New Japan, like when he had the ROH title and he was in New Japan. And I counted back that in, and it was even longer. Like, that match was even longer than that. I was like, holy shit, that was a long fucking time. Like, that was like, wow. That was longer than that. I was like, hold up, like, Jesus, like, all right. Okay. But that was his last title. That was his last title match. And I was like, holy shit. But, I mean, I hope that they swap some people out, get Wardlow out, get a new person in with them, and then they can do some dumb shit. Like, because I like the faction if Wardlow's not there. And it's just because Wardlow doesn't fit. And Wardlow needs to be by himself. If those two things happen, they're great. Like, they're golden. Like, it's fucking awesome.
Because in my opinion, like, if you really want to reach or whatever, like, technically, but not really, you could count Strong as, like, the strong man of Undisputed Era. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was, like, slightly taller than everybody, slightly, not by much, and whatever. And he, strong, like, Roger Strong, it says in his name, he's strong as shit. He could be the power guy. Fuck it.
Yeah, let him be the power guy. And, like, also, like, another crew that needs to get dismantled is the fucking Don Callis family. Like, just because I hate fucking Don Callis family, and it's like, it's the most hodgepodge group of, like, good wrestlers for no reason. Like, they have no story of why we're together. Oh, Don Callis recruiters. That makes no fucking sense. Like, it's like, you can do so much better. It's like, yeah, just screw it. Like, get rid of them. Let them do whatever they want to do by themselves and have fun, and it would be great. And then, like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, let them fucking be them.
Yeah, because, like, okay, I can even see if you threw, like, well, not Hobbs, because Hobbs needs to be alone. You could throw Takeshka in another group. Like, that'd be fine. You could throw Kyle in another group, because he just came from a group that was actually way better than whatever the fuck this is. He was in, like, he was on fucking United Kingdom, and it was like you should put him in something like that. Like, do that. But they're like, no, we're gonna stick him with this shit. It's like,
honestly, like, his whole look, He looked like he could fit in with the Undisputed Kingdom, just by look alone. It might not work, but just by look, he looks like he could fit.
Yeah, he's sticking with them. That would work. Like just get this Don Callis family stuff. Just like, and like people, like I swear to God, somebody said, "Oh, this is like the Heenan family. This is nothing like the Heenan family." Like, he wants it to be like the Heenan family so bad. This is nothing like the Heenan family. Like, they
the Heenan family from Timu.
Yeah, because like this, like they were a hodgepodge, but they all had like literal things where they were connected. This is just like the most hodgepodge group where you're just like, "Hey, I like this guy. I like this guy too. I like him. Hey, we're gonna all stick them together." And it's like, no, it doesn't make any sense. Like nothing about this makes sense. I want that to end. I want the Undisputed Kingdom to get rid of Wardlow and add another member. And that's it. Like, I mean, maybe we can make another faction or something, but I wouldn't know who the fuck would be in that. But yeah, like we really should restructure some things over there. That's it.
Maybe have AEW's own version of United Kingdom with Will Ospreay and what's his face?
No. Okay. I want Will Ospreay to be by himself. Just let Will be by himself and be solo and do his own thing, because Will is growing by himself and he's being a thing. When he turns heel,
okay,
we make the United Empire again. Like, you That's bring right. them That's back. That's
right, because he's a face.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work with him in the face.
Let him run his thing. Probably by like the fucking end of the year, World's End, like he'll be the champion and he'll be like just on top of the world, and just like then turn him heel. Just turn him heel, bring back the United Empire. Mark Davis will probably be okay. And then him and Kyle can be a team and we could go from there. And it's like that will work. Like, just let him be a good guy for right now and then we can move on. But like,
what's the status on him now that you mention him?
I have no idea. Cause like, there's a lot of people that we have no idea on. Cause it's him, is Jamie Hayter, is Britt Baker. Like, it's a lot of people that just are missing and nobody has any status on. And I mean nobody. Hmm. Like, there's no rumor, no anything. And now that Toni Storm is like, she's won and she's got the title, it's like, okay, this is the perfect time to bring back Britt Baker. Like, bring back Britt Baker. Like, let her wrestle with Toni. We're going in the double or nothing. Bring back Britt Baker. Like, at this point, as far as Jamie Hayter, I don't want them to bring her back until Wembley. Like, that would be the perfect thing, because she's from the UK. And at Wembley, they bring her back. She wins the title, beats Toni Storm. Chef's kiss. That would be great.
That would blow the roof off of that place.
Oh, that definitely would. Like, Jamie Hayter winning and Will Ospreay both winning world titles in the UK. Man, the fucking roof would be off that place. Like,
yes.
People from where they are winning titles in their own place, roof off. Like, that would be it. Like, perfect. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with it.
So that was Dynasty. We did the Dynasty recap review. So anything else you want to talk about?
Well, the only thing, like, I apologize for not being here last episode or whatever, but, you know, I'm back. So hopefully that don't happen again.
Yes, and we will see you in the next episode.